Merry Christmas, everybody. Come on, Christ has been born, and we know the story. Christ has risen, and we also know Christ is alive. Amen? Is he alive in your heart? Is he alive in your life? All right, we'll share the love with those around you today as we prepare to transition and dismiss our New Life kids to their time this morning up to grade 6. New Life kids up to grade 6, they're going to go back. They're going to have a special celebration this morning, celebrating the birth of Jesus with a birthday Jesus party. All right, well, listen, let me see you actually talk and mingle and say hi to some folks around you, all right? All right, well, good morning again, and welcome to church. Welcome to New Life Church on this Christmas Sunday morning. And I want to say hi to those of you and welcome you watching from online. Welcome in this morning. Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to the middle. It's in Psalm 46. Psalm 46 will be our main text today. Here at New Life Church, we aim to make Jesus the center of our life, our church, and our community. Let's read this text this morning, Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city, and it cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord and see how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear and burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Would you pray with me over today's message? Father, we give you glory. Let our soul truly glorify you. Let our spirit truly rejoice in you, our Lord, our Savior. Let today stick out in a way that reminds us more than any that, God, you came to love us, to show us your love, to extend unto us the opportunity to forever be connected with you. So today, Lord, let this story of Christmas resonate within our hearts, and let it truly cause our soul to glorify and our spirit to rejoice in God our Savior. Help me, O Lord, to speak your word, and let it be helpful to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a look at this video.
It is a silent night. Angels stoop down to watch in awe at the foot of this newborn baby's earthly throne. At the sight of his divine humanity and the quiet peace of his humility, there is reflection of God being with us. We remember the land of the deep darkness, in the valley of the shadows that was our home, but now a great light has shined upon us. The light of the world has dawned. We see prophecies being fulfilled in him. It is a holy night. And on this silent and holy night, we worship this child born unto us. We bow to the Son given to us. We praise the wonderful Counselor who is Mighty God and Prince of Peace. He reigns over David's throne and is righteous and just. Yes, on this silent and holy night, all is calm in our souls. All is bright in our lives. Heaven is here. The Messiah is born.
The story behind Silent Night, some of you may know this, but just over 200 years ago, this song was first heard by Austrian villagers attending a Christmas Eve Mass in St. Nicholas Church. It is a song about a calm and bright silent night and the wonder of a tender and newborn child. It was written in 1816 by a young priest in Austria by the name of Joseph Mohr. It was written not long after Napoleonic Wars had taken the toll on their town. The backstory is that the priest went out for a walk right before he wrote it, and he looked out over this very quiet and winter-laden town, and he was inspired because the town was finally at peace. An organ builder and a repairman who worked for the church took a copy of this 6-verse song back to his home village. It was picked up and spread around by two families who were traveling folk singers. The composition evolved, was translated into over 300 languages. It was sung in churches and towns, on the squares, and even in the battlefield during World War I, when during a temporary truce on Christmas Eve, soldiers sang this song amongst some other carols. Silent Night, by 1914, was known around the world and was sung simultaneously in French, German, and in English. As we gather here today, just 3 days before Christmas, maybe your life has been tumultuous. I would say it's probably been busy. I would dare say there's probably been some ups and some downs, and maybe a little bit of chaos. No doubt our world that we live in has become more and more tumultuous by the minute. And so today I want us to consider something. I want us to consider doing our very best to embrace this Psalm 46 that was written some 700 years before the birth of Christ, because it leads us and guides us to be able to experience the silence and the holiness and the sacredness and the closeness that is only found in the presence of our God, in Jesus Christ. This psalm picks out and shows us 5 thoughts that I want to share with you on this Christmas Sunday that can help guide us to living a silent, holy life in the Lord, knowing what that really means. First of all, he tells us in the beginning, God is our refuge and God is our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Anybody ever been in trouble before? I know all of us have been in trouble at some point in our life. And the older we get, sometimes the trouble gets bigger. The stakes get higher. Life gets difficult. Look with me at Luke 2:7. It says, Mary gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Question, how could this baby, born and wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger, really be a present to this world? You see, the Lord had her wrap him to present him to the world. But how could he be a present to this world in that shape, at that size? You see, God showed up in a way that you and I and this whole world can relate to. That is helpless and weak. No one likes to admit when we're helpless or when we're weak. That's that's not a fashion. That's not a thing. People don't embrace that. But truly, deep down, we all know we have moments where we are truly helpless and we are weak. You see, this baby who was born in a manger was born to be our refuge and to be our strength. That was his destiny. That was his purpose. For the angel telling Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, he writes, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You see, there was no doubt about it. From heaven to earth, Jesus would come to save humanity from their sins. He was born to be our refuge, to be our strength, to be our very present help in our time of trouble. This Christmas, if you need help, the help you really need, all of us need, is only found in Jesus himself. This psalm goes on to tell us, too, that we should not fear. That we should not fear. Look with me at verse 10 of chapter 2 in Luke. The angel reassured the shepherds, telling them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." You know, too much of our lives are really truly lived out in fear. We have fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear of the past, fear of missing out, fear of being rejected by others, fear of failure. The list goes on and on and on. Fear lives in all of our lives, but too much of our lives, unfortunately, are lived in fear. The psalmist here of chapter 46 of Psalm lets us in on a little secret. It lets us in to see that we don't really have to be ruled by fear of any kind, whatever it is, because it reverts back to the verse 1, we don't have to fear because God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in our time of trouble. But why? If he's our very present help in time of trouble, if he's our refuge that we can run unto, he's our strength that helps us in our weakness, then why do we let fear grip our hearts? Why do we live out life afraid? Afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. We get fearful. We don't know what the doctor will say. We get fearful. We don't like the results we get. We get fearful. We don't understand certain people, so we get fearful. We live by fear. We live because it tends to dominate. There's a variation of the phrases, "do not be afraid" and "fear not." Those two phrases show up in the Bible not a couple of times, not 25 times, not 125 times. You know how many times the variations of "do not be afraid" and "fear not" show up in Scripture? 365 times. So therefore, the Bible tells us every single day, do not be afraid. You do not have to fear. The Lord told Joshua when his predecessor passed away, Moses, he told him three times in just 9 verses, "Do not fear. Do not be discouraged, for I am with you." I get it. We're human. It's natural to be afraid. Fear comes in all shapes and sizes. It happens to all of us. But the Bible then speaks to it every single day. Do not be afraid, right? I think we probably allow ourselves to be fearful and afraid because we truly don't take refuge in God, our Savior, the one who is our strength. We might occasionally run to him, but man, do you know you can think of that one moment in your life, that day in your life where you know you have trusted God with everything. And there is so much peace in your heart. There is no room for worry or anxiety or anxiousness or fear of any kind. That, my friends, is what it feels like to truly trust God. And that is what he calls us to do every single day. Do not be afraid. If you need hope this season, whatever place your life might be in right now, if you need hope, hope is only found, truly lasting hope, in Jesus. Do not be afraid. He is your refuge and your strength. This psalm goes on to guide us, and he paints a picture kind of in the middle of this whole text of Psalm 46, and he talks about a river. He says there's a river that brings joy to the city of God, and God dwells there, and it cannot be destroyed. You know, sitting beside a river, I don't know how many of you enjoy getting out or have the time to get out and just kind of sit by a stream or sit by a river or kind of get out by yourself like that, but it can be very soothing to hear the waters kind of rush by, or sit on the beach and hear the waves crash. Something about that. Studies have actually shown that running water has a stress-reducing effect. And this river here that the psalmist talks about in Psalm 46 is not a literal river. It's a metaphoric river that talks about that river that makes God's people glad is a river of God's strength, a river of God's peace, a river of God's hope, a river of God's refreshment that only He and He alone can provide. In fact, there's another psalmist that wrote one in Psalm 23. And he talked about it this way, that the Lord is his shepherd, he shall not want. And it says, my shepherd leads me beside peaceful streams. Leads us beside peaceful streams. Do we ever give ourselves the gift of making time to just sit in silence or in solitude? To some, it may seem like that just drives me crazy, to just sit still. Because we like to go, 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 do and do and do and do and do. We like to be and be and all the things. And our mind can kind of race and wander and go all over the place. But there's just something about learning to just sit still in the presence of the Lord for just a few minutes and allow His river of strength and peace and refreshment to just wash over us. Another thing this psalm teaches us and admonishes us is that it tells us that the Lord of heaven is here. The Lord of heaven is here, and it says, come and see what God has done. Look with me in Matthew 1, verse 23. The angel speaking, saying, look, talking about the prophet Isaiah, his prophecy 700 years before Christ came, says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The Lord is with us. You know, that is probably, it's not the only, but it is one of the major differences of our Christian faith compared to all other religions. And that is, God came to us. He came from heaven to earth in the form of His Son, Jesus. That's a big difference. You see, because it teaches us that we don't have to perform to get God to notice us. We don't have to perform to draw near to the Lord or for God to draw near to us. We don't have to reach a state of enlightenment in order to feel at peace with God. God came. He made it easy. He came to us. He Himself bridged heaven to earth through His Son, Jesus. He came to earth to show us. He came to be with us. He is mighty. The psalmist goes on to talk about He is powerful. And it says, look at what He has done. Come and see what God has done on this earth and in our lives. He came to bring peace. He came to be peace in our lives by living as the Prince of Peace to rule and reign in our hearts. Luke 2, verse 12 through 14 says, and this will be a sign to you. It says, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God desires to give earth peace. Those who live here, all of us to know what true peace is all about. And in this time of life, in our world, as I mentioned in the beginning, that it just seems to not slow down. Time seems to go by faster. It doesn't in reality, but it sure feels like that way sometimes. The days are long. The years seem short. Things grow by so fast. People are in such a hurry to get to the next thing, to get from here to there, to do this, to do that. It can be so, so busy, so, so chaotic, so, so tumultuous in this world. And it doesn't seem to get any easier. But what can we do? Where can we hang our hat? What can we put our faith in? Who can we anchor our souls to? Certainly not the ways of the world. Certainly not the system of this world. Certainly not that pattern. No. We must learn to draw near to the one who never fades, who never changes. There is no shifting shadow or changing with him. The one who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because here's the thing. Our life is always going to be full of chaos. Our world is always going to be full of unknowns. Our world is always going to be plagued with fear. But we can learn to live this in this earth not dominated by any of those things. But we can learn to let the Prince of Peace, our God, our refuge, our Savior, rule and reign in our lives. You see, this psalm teaches us. This psalm admonishes us to show us to know silence, to know stillness, to know holiness that is only found in the presence of Jesus. This Christmas, if you need peace in your life, may I encourage you, it's not found in more presence. Spoiler alert. It's not found in getting the latest whatever. It's not found in the bonus. It's not found at the table. It is only found in the person and the presence of Jesus himself. If you really need peace that lasts beyond a meal, beyond a present, beyond a gift, and beyond another human being, then it is Jesus. And he, his peace, there will be no end. No end. And lastly, this psalm tells us this. The psalmist quoting God himself saying this, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know. What happens when we are told to just sit down? We don't want to sit down, right? Right? I know we tell our children, you just need to sit down and take a chill pill right now. What generally happens? They don't want to sit down. And us adults, we don't like to be told to sit either. But what happens when we sit? We have the opportunity to know who God is and who is in control, right? Who is in control? That's generally the case. God saying, "Be still and know that I am God." What do we say? Well, I got too much to do. I got too many places to be. I got a lot of work ahead of me. I got a lot of activities I got to get done. You see my checklist this Christmas, Jesus? I got a lot of people to shop for. I got a lot of baking to do. I got a lot of traveling to do. I got places to be, people to see, all these different things. And what does he tell us? Look, you just need to take some time and learn to be still and know that I am God. Life's chaotic. The world is tumultuous. And if there's not drama, somebody somewhere going to be starting some drama. I don't know what that is, but people thrive on drama. If there ain't drama going on, somebody's like, well, somebody need to be starting something. Right? As if there's not enough drama in this world already. Somebody, if it's at peace, somebody's going to stick their head up and like, I'm going to say something. I'm just going to push their buttons and see what they do. How do we experience a silent and holy life? Because when life's so crazy and so loud and not so holy, how do you and I just be still in the midst of it? I don't mean go in isolation, but how do we be still and not let all what's around us get in us? Because, man, I don't like it when it gets in me, right? I don't like it when it gets in me. But I believe, like Jesus in the boat in the storm with his disciples, they allow the storm to get in them, but not Jesus. He said, no, be quiet, be silent. No more wind, no more rain, no more waves. Be still. Be still. So when life is so crazy loud and not so holy, what do? It's a choice. Friends, it's a choice. It is a choice. You and I have to choose to let go of trying to fix and control everything and everyone. We can't control people. We can't control that. We must choose to be still, because choosing to be still is really an act of faith. It's faith that God is God and we are not, and he is in control. Last time I checked, I had a better day when I let God be God and Jeremy did not do it. I had a much brighter day when I let the Lord lead me and guide me and order my steps, as opposed to me trying to map out everything that I had before me. I know I had a much peaceful day when I let God love me and fill me, as opposed to me trying to press on and be bullheaded and do it my way. We're going to be around family, we're going to be around friends, we're going to be around a whole lot of people this season. And if you've been on Van Drive, you're around a whole lot of cars, a whole lot of traffic. There's just a lot of people, a lot of things, a lot of happenings. And life, friends, is still going to go on after this week. But how will you and I move forward? Will we travel into 2025? With chaos running our life, tumultuous thoughts messing with our hearts? Will we allow the chaos of this world to be bigger than the peace of our God? See, faith is choosing to be still and let God be God so that we don't have to, and neither were we made to. Look at Luke 2, verse 20. The shepherds went back to their flocks after they had gone to see this miracle birth of Christ. They went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. You see, the shepherds went back to their night. They went back to their everyday life. But they didn't go back into their life empty-handed. They went back into their life, back into their everyday world, carrying the experience of having been in the presence of Jesus. You and I face our world by first facing Christ, embracing him, letting him, his love and his glory and his power and his goodness saturate us completely. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice. What will you choose today? Church, what will you choose today in this season? What will you choose today as we near the end of this year? You see, everyone in this Christmas story had a choice. Mary had a choice to accept it. Joseph had a choice to accept it. The angels had a choice to go. Even the Magi had a choice to follow the star or not. All have a choice. You and I still have a choice. And what will you and I choose today? Will we choose to continue to embrace chaos? Will we choose to embrace busyness? Will we choose to embrace fear? Will we choose to embrace whatever it might be? Or will we choose to embrace being still and knowing, you know what? God's got this. God's got me. Right? Because there's a whole lot of life you and I don't like. There's a whole lot of stuff that happens in life that you and I are just sick at. And we don't have any control over it. We don't have any control over it. There's parts of our own life that we don't like. Parts of ourself that, man, I wish I wasn't this way. I wish this didn't happen in me. I wish this wouldn't have happened to me. There's a whole lot of life you and I get disgusted at. What will we choose this year? How will we embrace Christmas in 2024? Will we embrace knowing that He is God and we are not? Here's the good news of that too. He's God. That means He knows. He knows how you feel. He knows how you hurt. He knows how you ache. He knows how you cry. I know this sounds like the Santa Claus song. He sees you when you're sleeping. He's better than that, though. He sees you. He sees you in your times where your mind's just spinning. He sees you when you're sitting alone and you just wish life was a little bit more joyful. He sees you in your difficulties. He sees you even when you doubt. He sees you when you want to give up. He sees you when you don't have enough and you don't know what else you can do. He sees you when you've made decisions that you know didn't honor Him, and He still loves you and pursues you and chases you and calls out to you and says, "Child, you are mine. You belong to me. Come unto me, you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Be still and know I am God" was written 700 years before Jesus ever came to this earth. They were in on a secret. It's what the Bible talks about, the mystery of the gospel. They were in on it. They knew 700 years before it ever happened, there is a refuge that is in the Lord and that is not found in any person or anything on this planet. So this Christmas, what will you choose? Will you choose to be still and finally know He is God? He really is. You see, Sophia knows. You know why she's not afraid? Because she's been passed down that whole aisle today. And she knows every hand and arm that holds her is not going to let her drop. Is not going to let her fall. You see, baby teaches us. Christ, the baby, teaches us. We need one bigger than us to hold us, to keep us, to warm us, and just push away all fear and angst in our heart and let peace and joy comfort, knowing He's God and we're not. And He has left us with a gift. Jesus left us with a table, the elements of communion. He left these elements as a gift to remind us that He is our refuge, that He is our strength, and He calls on us to say, hey, just like this bread we tasted and the cup of juice we taste and goes in us, it's a reminder that we are to call on him to completely fill us within. Scripture also teaches us, taste and see that the Lord is good. Friend, if you have a bad taste in your mouth about life, about anything in life, maybe you just need to be reminded today. Taste and see that God is good and that he loves you and he's here today. This bread is symbolic. This cup is symbolic of all of those things. Would you bow your heads? I'm going to pray here in a moment. When I pray, I'm going to pray. And if this resonates with you and you also want to draw near to the Lord, I'm going to encourage you to pray along with me. It's not a repeating prayer. It's just a agreeing prayer in our life. Maybe you are never called on Jesus before. Or maybe you have and you don't feel so close today. But you know you want to draw back near. You want to come to him. And when I pray today, the house lights are going to actually be turned off. I don't want anybody to freak out like something happened. And when I finish praying, then I'm going to ask you before you come to the table, we're all going to sit in silence for about a minute. And that's going to feel like a long time. And when that minute is up, you'll hear a sound, a cappella voice singing Silent Night. And when that Silent Night a cappella voice sings, that is our cue that the table of communion is open. And you'll come and receive communion, and then we'll go from there. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before you today. We're all tired of wrestling with life, wrestling with ourselves, wrestling with other things, people maybe. Today, we yield. We surrender. We cause ourselves to stop and to be silent before you. But before we become silent, Lord, we ask you today, forgive our hearts, forgive our lives of our sins and our shortcomings, Lord, before you. For we have all fallen short of your standard. And today we come before you, asking you to love us fresh and anew. Today, O Lord, we come back to you today and ask you to fill our life fresh and anew with your love. By your Spirit today, come and breathe fresh in us today. Take the staleness and the hardness of our heart and make it fresh and soft. Let us feel Christmas in our hearts today. Let the spirit of Christmas thrive and be alive in our lives today. And Lord, our homes and our families and our relationships, where they may be tight or torn or conflicted, today come and heal. Come and make right. Come and reconcile. We are here today only by your grace. And we don't want to take that grace for granted. So we're here before you. And Lord, as we prepare in a moment to come to the table that you gifted us to remind us that you do desire us to fully know you and for us to be fully known by you. May that happen. Do it in our hearts. Connected in our hearts today, in our souls, deep in our spirit. Like Mary said, my soul will glorify, my spirit will rejoice in God my Savior. Let that be the exclamation point on our life today. In Jesus' name.